Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Wednesday. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. You can just feel real football getting closer. College football this weekend. NFL, this is week three, so you'll have teams, starters playing the entire first half. Joy Taylor is joining me. I can feel it today. I can feel it. Feels like we're inching closer to coming, bursting through the gates onto the field for real football.
Oh no, we're here because week three is really when you get to see mostly what you'll start to see the first week of the season.
Yeah.
So
I was seeing a story yesterday where Adam Gase of the Jets said our guy should expect to play at least one series in the third quarter. So here we are. So Jerry Jones, let's start with this. Jerry Jones is very shrewd and is very calculating. You know, through the years, Jerry's reputation is a lot of ego, and he's got plenty of it, and a lot of vanity. But when you can sit in a room with 31 other billionaires, and they listen to your advice, you're pretty smart. The NFL owners listen to two guys, Bob Kraft of the Patriots, and a lot of that is because they win the most, and then Jerry Jones of the Cowboys, who doesn't win that much, and they listen to him. Jerry's very shrewd. He's a high risk taker. He is very calculated, and he's got a ton of leverage. So yesterday, what did Jerry Jones do? Because he wants to sign Ezekiel Elliott, and he has been going public with his son, Stephen Jones, tag team partnering now for 3 weeks. So yesterday, what does he do? He signs a player to a big contract, but not any player, Jalen Smith, one of the more likable players, quiet, has a great story, overcame an injury, never misses a practice. Jerry could have signed any of his players to a long-term deal. But instead, he chose the one player who grew up as a Cowboy fan, the one player who almost had his football career end, the best story of the Dallas Cowboys, the most beloved player, his defensive signal caller. Didn't have to. Contract wasn't up. That was a message. And then after he signed him and praised him for being the hardest worker, the best story, an amazing person, always supportive, wants to be a Cowboy, could have done that with any player. He could have signed Zeke yesterday, Dak, Amari. He could have done any player. He picked Jalen Smith. And then did you notice what he said about available money now available?
There is less pie left. Make no bones about it. You have as many high-quality young players as we have. You have to allocate your resources wisely to keep and have all of those players.
Oh, boy.
You have to do that. That's called team building. And I will assure you that this was about team.
Boy, if you don't even have to reach for that stuff. Many good players, team building, not about the individual. There was another bite Jerry had yesterday, and there was some animus. Jerry was angry. And as shrewd and as calculated as Jerry is, he's human. And he got angry when asked about the joke poking Zeke in the ribs about, you know, who's Zeke. Zeke was offended. Here's what Jerry said to that.
Look, I've earned the right with Zeke to joke. Period.
Right.
I've earned it.
So have you guys had any conversations since then at all?
No. Well, let me be real clear about it. I've earned that right to joke.
Okay. Why would Jerry be angry? Oh, I don't know, because Jerry tried to get the NFL commissioner fired for not defending Zeke. So Jerry Jones drafts Zeke. Zeke gets in trouble immediately. Jerry goes to the wall for him. The fans bail on him. Media people like me bail on him. The NFL bails on him. The commissioner bails on him. and Jerry goes to the wall for him. And you pay him back going to Mexico and 2 years out holding out. And you don't think Jerry's justified with a little bit of his anger? A little bit? I mean, if I defended you, your mom wouldn't, your dad wouldn't, your job wouldn't, your boss wouldn't, your industry wouldn't, and I defended you, and I tried to get your boss fired, don't you owe me a solid? just a little solid? I don't always take the owner's side. But in this instance, Jerry defended Zeke to the core. And make no bones about this, Jerry has all the leverage. Jerry just doesn't have to pay Zeke for 2 years. And then he can franchise him. Zeke's career could be over. He doesn't have to pay him. Doesn't have to pay him. You can say, well, the Cowboys won't win. Well, what are they winning with him? Well, Jerry wants a Super Bowl. Well, hell, he's wanted one for 20 years. It's not like Zeke was giving him something that he hadn't had. Jerry's already won multiple Super Bowls. Jerry's already a billionaire. Jerry's already winning divisions. Jerry's already losing playoff games. What would Zeke furnish him that he doesn't have? Yes, it is now personal. So personal that Jerry got on the phone a year early with Jalen Smith, a linebacker's agent, and took care of him. Jalen Smith should send Zeke a thank you note because that's who got him paid. Yes, Jerry's angry. You would be angry too if you went to the wall for somebody who got in trouble with the law and they paid you back with a holdout. You wouldn't like it either. Let's shift to the Raiders. Antonio Brown practiced in a certified helmet. He is officially back. You know how you like, we all have qualities we like in people. And we all have qualities, you know, that we don't like in people. And it depends on your childhood and your personality and your DNA and your temperament. I've always tried to be honest about this. I don't like needy people. I've gotten rid of needy friends. I've never married anybody that's needy. I don't like needy bosses. I take great pride in being self-reliant. You could ask my agent. He always jokes. We never talk. You could ask my bosses. You give me this show, you don't have to show up for 4 years until my contract's out. We'll talk about a new one. My bosses don't hover around me. My agent doesn't hover around me. I take incredible pride in being a grown-up, in being a man. I think it's very male. You don't have to babysit me. You don't have to pander me. I don't need mommy and daddy around all the time. When you're a football coach at the college level, you do deal with 16, 17, and 18-year-olds. And so there's a lot of love. You got to send them the love in recruiting. You got to go to mom's house and you got to eat the dinner and the 13th apple pie on that recruiting trip. But once you become an NFL coach, most coaches, because by the way, college and pro both pay a lot of money. The reason a lot of guys don't want to coach in college, they don't want to have to constantly, you know, babysit. They don't want to deal with kids. They want to deal with men. They just want to deal with football. So how frustrating would it be to have a 31-year-old veteran NFL star and have to constantly pander to him? If I was John Gruden, I would be embarrassed. I'd be worn out. There was something on HBO's Hard Knocks. You know, he's having to constantly gas up Antonio, tell him how great he is. Again, he's not a 17-year-old wide receiver from Midland, Texas, who you're trying to recruit to come to Purdue, and 10 other schools are offering you scholarships, maybe 20. I get showing the love, age, the sport. But God, by the time you get to the NFL and you're a 9-year veteran, do you have to pander then? Here's John Gruden pandering during AB's holdout.
I know you got a lot of people in your ear because you're like a corporation that's kind of gone global. Yeah. But at the end of the day, let's keep this simple.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Football comes first.
Absolutely.
Everything else way behind it.
Simple, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Let's just, because you handled all that seamlessly, beautifully.
Seamlessly. I like that word.
I was trying to come up with a multi-syllable.
That's a great word.
Seamlessly.
Yeah. Three syllables.
I would look that up. Yeah.
They don't have those at Dayton and Central Michigan.
It's just pandering. It's a 9-year veteran. Greg Popovich always says, we don't draft you until you got over yourself. New England does the same thing. You got to get over yourself. We don't want to have to be your therapist, your mother, your father. We want men who work hard, want to win. Are we guys, not me guys? Listen, Antonio Brown's incredibly talented. And if he was a 17-year-old recruit or a first or second year guy, I get it. I mean, we all mature differently. Some evolve more slowly. I get it. You see the world differently politically, professionally, personally as we age. But I think it would be really frustrating to have a 9-year NFL veteran I couldn't trust with his feet. I couldn't trust with the equipment. I got to constantly put my arm around and pander to him. It's like babysitting. And I can just tell you, I take great pride in you don't have to kiss my arse all day. I don't have to talk to my agent all day. I don't have to talk to my bosses all day. Give me a show. Give me a mic. Get out of the way. I like people like that. I like men. You ever see that show? Bear Grylls goes out in the wilderness and he's got a hunting knife and he literally lives for 27 days. That's so male. That's so, I love that quality. I'm just going to survive out here. They do TV shows on that. They do TV series on that. Jason Bourne, I mean, John Wick. We do series on guys who can just handle crisis. Antonio Brown, he's a great player. He would wear me out. By the way, here's Gruden after practice yesterday, confirming AB is here now.
He's all in, ready to go. That's my understanding. And really happy to have him out here. He's a great player. It's not been a distraction to me at all. And this grievance thing is no laughing matter. It's something that's really important to him. And there's nothing wrong with supporting your players on things that they believe in. We also understand the league's position, but I'm confident that he's going to be a heck of a player for us and be ready to roll.
He's a TV star, man. You got a smile on even when he's delivering a gruff message. So here we go. AB is back for the Raiders. He is, by the way, a great player. That I'll never deny.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So age matters, especially with kids. My son had a stage where he went through a biting and licking stage. He was 4. If my son went through a biting licking stage at 27, I'd be concerned. He was 4. If my daughter had smoked pot at 6 years old, we'd have a real problem. But if she's in college at 19 and somebody told me they saw her smoke pot, I'd be like, well, she's at college. I did that once. You know, just once, too. Age matters. I've also seen my kids, of which I have 6 in my life, make big leaps in maturity from 17 to 20, from 19 to 21. Now, if you're 47 years old, it's rare that there's a big gap between a 47-year-old and a 51-year-old. But when you're like 21 and 23 and a half, you can have real jumps in maturity, right? Because you haven't experienced that much in life. Baker Mayfield has been stepping in it for the last couple of weeks. He called out a teammate, Duke Johnson, got confronted by his teammates. He made a comment to GQ magazine yesterday, then reeled back and said, I didn't say that, clickbait. Oh, boy. Here's what concerns me. Baker Mayfield's 24. He was the oldest of all the first-round quarterbacks. He's playing in a market, Cleveland, which is begging for him to win. Those people in Cleveland do not want to talk about a 4-12 football team for the 20th straight year. Do you realize that Patrick Mahomes is younger than Baker Mayfield? Got to within a throw of the Super Bowl, was the league MVP, and acts with utter maturity. Deshaun Watson is, believe it or not, younger than Baker Mayfield, and yet he won his division. Not a peep. Jared Goff got to the Super Bowl, same age as Baker Mayfield. Total class in the entertainment capital of America. Never disruptive, never stepping in it. Baker Mayfield older than Mahomes, older than Deshaun Watson, same age as Jared Goff, in small Cleveland, keeps stepping in it. Listen, Sam Darnold was the youngest week one starter since the NFL and the AFL merged. He's playing in the United States sports media, media capital of America, New York. He's a kid. Hell, he played some linebacker in high school. If Sam Darnold came into this league as the youngest 21-year-old quarterback going to New York and stepped in it once, you'd be like, oh, he's a kid. Baker's older than Patrick Mahomes, older than Deshaun Watson, same age as Jared Goff. They've all had much more success than Baker. They're in bigger cities or they're bigger stars, and he keeps stepping in it. Yes. And the funny thing is about Baker is his game when he came in had some polish compared to Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. I thought his game had the most polish. It was the most refined. He was closer to his ceiling. He had great college coaches. He had a ton of starts. He had transferred. He'd had a real struggle. I thought his game had a certain maturity to it as a rookie. But the off-field stuff, I mean, come on. You got to step in it again? And by the way, young quarterbacks, just like young kids, sometimes make mistakes and they need guidance. Patrick Mahomes has legendary Andy Reid. Okay? Jared Goff has the best young coach in football, Sean McVay. Deshaun Watson has Bill O'Brien. Lamar Jackson has a Super Bowl coach in John Harbaugh. Baker Mayfield has who? Freddie Kitchens, who's never been hired by a team as a coordinator? Who's his guidance? Listen, if all these young quarterbacks in the NFL threw a Christmas party and I said one of them ends up in the closet passed out, who would you guess it would be? The old one. Isn't that kind of a problem? Now, Freddie Kitchens is still contending. Baker's very, very young here.
If I ever feel like that, I'll address it at that point. But Baker and I have a good relationship. I think Baker knows exactly what he's doing. You guys aren't giving him enough credit that from the standpoint of he's just been, he's 24 years old, okay? He's very mature, but again, he's still 24 years old. He's going to have things he learns along the way in football and life and everything else. I don't think it matters. At the end of the day, I don't think it matters. Somebody says something about the bullseye. Says something about the bullseye. What does that matter? Do we not have a bullseye on us just because we're in the NFL and we're playing on Sundays?
All right. Again, he's older than Patrick Mahomes, older than Deshaun Watson. They've had more success, and I think they have a certain maturity that is redeemable and commendable. This is not anti-Baker. I'm not the one saying things about Daniel Jones. I'm not the one calling out Duke Johnson. I am just simply a messenger here. But I think age matters, and you can tell a lot about age. And at 24, I'd expect more.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, I know everybody thinks I'm joy out to get Baker Mayfield, but I do kind of laugh when Aaron Rodgers and Baker Mayfield come out and say things like, I can't believe this is a big deal. But by the way, Aaron and Baker have both used clickbait as an excuse and have also said, I can't believe this stuff's a big deal. You guys are franchise quarterbacks. In America, you're the royal family. I mean, if you look at America, if you look at all the sports and all the politicians, the biggest office is President of the United States. After that, there's either a movie star, an NBA star, a musical star, or an NFL quarterback. That's like our hierarchy of stardom in America. President's number one. This president tends to make a lot of media coverage. Some are more, laid back. And then after that, you generally have like Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, Beyonce, LeBron. And then you get like into NFL quarterbacks of note. So whenever quarterbacks are like, I can't believe people make a big deal out of it, you're not a left guard in the CFL.
Also, either you are a big deal or you're not. So which would you prefer? It comes with both sides of it. If you do something great, you get praise. If you do something people disagree with, they discuss their disagreement with what you've done. That's how it works. You did a GQ article Would you prefer we not even read it?
Well, of course. Like, Baker is doing ads, and he's all over TV, and he's saying stuff, and he's building his brand, which I'm okay with.
It's not like someone recorded him saying this while he was enjoying a sandwich.
Right. He agreed to an interview, did the interview, and then today, Baker addressing his comments in GQ magazine, he did call Daniel Jones. This video is fresh.
You know, you can't trust anyone. So, I mean, it's taken out of context, but at the same time, that was back in April, which is why, you know, it's astonishing that it's that big of a deal right now. That's the problem with today's day and age. You know, you don't read the whole thing. You don't put two and two together. You just kind of read scripts, and then people, you know, they combine sentences from different conversations. And so it seemed very disrespectful, and I can understand that. But what people didn't realize is the conversation entailed of me saying that I was surprised I was drafted number one overall, too. You know, I reached out to Daniel because all that blew out of, you know, way out of hand, and I wanted him to know how I felt. I don't care about a lot of opinions of it, you know, if you like me or not, but that looked like my character was, you know, way out of line, and so that's the only reason I addressed it.
Yeah, there's no surprise to this. You have to be aware that, listen, we on this show get asked to do interviews all the time. I agreed to one so far this year, Armin Katayan, The Athletic. Why? Because I trusted him. He's been on 60 Minutes. He's a smart dude. You got to be careful about interviews. You got to know that. Now, he's 24, but there's no surprise here. It's not wildly taken out of context. There's an actual quote. You know, this was recorded. Generally, the way it works, they put down and record what they say so they can't be sued. It's not libel. It's just what you said. I think it's cool that, you know, you call Daniel Jones, but you do care what people say. That's why you go to social media and respond to what people say. So let's just be upfront and honest about it. You do care what people say. You've responded to them a lot. You responded to this article because you didn't like the way it came across what you said. Just be authentic about it. You talk a lot. You make mistakes. And it does bother you at times. That's okay. Nobody's perfect here. But don't tell me clickbait, taken out of context, somebody else's fault, the way the public is. They read scripts. I called him. It's April. I can't believe it. Just own it. Own it.
I mean, for that matter, you would imagine the people just reading headlines and not taking everything in full context that everyone on the show was against Baker the entire year. Like I said, Baker should be starting from the beginning. Like, that's not just the world we live in.
By the way, do you know what he did? He did what Aaron Rodgers does. He was a victim. Baker Mayfield, listen to that. I'm a victim. A victim of the society, victim of how the media works.
Can't trust anyone.
Can't trust anybody. I'm a victim. No, Baker, you're not a victim. Aaron Rodgers did this. Well, it's clickbait. Aaron, you're worth $200 million. Aaron Rodgers, you're not a victim. Baker Mayfield, you're not a victim. Aaron, you have a reputation. You've had family members call you out. It is fair after multiple teammates and family members call you out for us to go, he may have a leadership issue. Aaron, you're not a victim. Baker, you've stepped in it like three times. You're not a victim of the media. You're not a victim of the press, a victim of Clay Skipper, a victim of GQ magazine. Stop with the victimhood. Sports isn't about that. The great thing about Aaron Rodgers and Baker Mayfield, the great thing about both of them is they've overcome stuff. Their paths have not been linear. Aaron had to go to a junior college. That's a great story. Aaron goes junior college, Cal, drops in the first round of the draft, and has to sit behind Brett Favre for 3 years. Aaron's really overcome a lot. Aaron Rodgers' story is great. Junior college, Butte Junior College, Cal, which was not a very good program. Then he drops in the draft and has to sit behind a stubborn, wildly popular American iconic quarterback for 3 years and eat a dirt sandwich. And still Aaron's amazing. That's an amazing story. So Aaron, you're not a victim. Give yourself a pat in the back. You're a tough guy. You've overcome a lot of injuries, collarbone surgeries, but you're not a victim. Baker Mayfield, two-time walk-on, great story, had a police video, overcame it, did some stupid stuff. Like, both of you guys have great stories. Both of your stories are easy to put your arms around Aaron Rodgers' story, easy to put your arms around Baker's story. You've overcome a lot. But at this point now, as starting quarterbacks and guys with net worths in 8 to 9 figures, neither one of you is a victim. Okay, neither one of you had a career-ending injury. You know, neither one of you got cut your first camp. So the Baker thing comes across like, oh, I mean, the media, they over there, guys, trust, clickbait. Stop it. Just own your crap.
It just kind of feels like he's implying he was taken advantage of.
Yes, and he's not. He's had a hard road. His road
to make has nothing to do with saying something that you feel was taken out of context in an interview with a highly respected publication that you agreed to.
Right. Oh, by the way, Pro Football Focus came out. I love Pro Football Focus. Don't always agree with them on stuff. They rank every starting quarterback this upcoming season. The ranking uses data from previous years to project each quarterback's performance this year. The first thing that'll get headlines is Dak Prescott is 17th. So, you know, it goes Brady, Breeze, Mahomes are the only three that make their tier one. Aaron Rodgers leads their tier two. Then it's Luck, Wilson, Ryan, Big Ben, Phillip, Baker makes top 10. Then Wentz, Deshaun, Goff, Kirk Cousins, Matt Stafford, Cam Newton, Dak 17, Jimmy Garoppolo, Derek Carr, Andy Dalton. I mean, Baker's a little high for me. Deshaun Watson's a little low. Carson Wentz a little low. I agree mostly with it. So I think the first thing people will look at is Dak Prescott is 17. You want to pay him $32 million. Well, I think once you get down to about 9 to about 16, it's inches, not feet. I don't think there's a big gap. Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield at this point. And that's not a shot at Baker. I think Jared Goff to me is better than Baker. They think Baker's slightly better than Goff. I think there's like 4, 5, 6 guys in this thing. Brady, Breeze, Mahomes, Rodgers, Luck, Wilson, that feel better than the rest of the league. And then after that, I like Matt Ryan, Ben Rivers, but I think there's like a 6 guys that are the best on the planet. And then I think it's Garoppolo, Derek Carr, Dak, Cam. What's the gap? I don't know what the gap is. Matt Stafford. You know, I like Deshaun Watson more than Pro Football Focus. I like Baker Mayfield slightly less. I like Goff and Deshaun Watson more than Pro Football Focus does. That's just my takeaway. So the first takeaway is going to be Dak 17. The second takeaway I'd like to say is, once again, Cam Newton is middle of the pack. Thank you, somebody finally acknowledging that a guy with a 59% career completion percentage, which is pathetic, and an 86.4 quarterback rating, passer rating, excuse me, which is kind of pathetic, is middle of the pack. Thank you. That's all I've been saying for years. I'm not a hater. He doesn't have back-to-back winning seasons. He's not very accurate. Stop blaming coordinators, O-line, tight end, receivers. Stop it. Guy's been in the league now almost a decade. He's an average quarterback. He's about 16th in the league. That's right where he is. They have Cam one slot ahead of Dak Prescott and one slot behind Matt Stafford, and that's exactly where he should be. And the third thing I would say is Patrick Mahomes is one slot ahead of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron does not make the first tier. He makes the second tier. That to me is interesting because Patrick Mahomes, for years and years, we said Brady's the winning quarterback. Aaron's the talent. And we've done this through time. By the way, Joe Montana's the winning quarterback, but Marino's the talent, right? Troy Aikman's the winning quarterback, but, Steve Young's running around. Steve Young's the talent. Brett Favre, that's what we've always done. Brett Favre was the talent, but there's other people that had the wins. And we've always felt like Brady's got the wins, and Aaron's the guy for the last decade. He's the talent. Pro Football Focus is saying, no, now Patrick Mahomes is the talent. The arm, the zip, the feel, the athleticism, the movement, the mobility. I said it last year. I felt like for the first time in like 8, 9 years, I said it last year. I feel like Mahomes is the guy with the magic. Not that Aaron Rodgers has dropped off a cliff, but I do feel like there was a passing of the baton last year where if you told me there's going to be a quarterback make a throw on Sunday, and you're not going to believe it, I would guess Mahomes. For 8 years, I would have guessed Rodgers. And that, again, that's not to say Aaron's – I think Green Bay is going to win their division. I think Aaron's going to be in the MVP race. But I do feel like, and Pro Football Focus does, Mahomes has edged ahead of Aaron in the best talent guy. Arm, feel, it, athletic, size, health. I think that's fair to say.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
New Yorker here that now lives in L.A., Michael Rappaport. He's a comedian. He's a writer. He's a performer. He's a podcaster. I Am Rappaport podcast, stereo podcast on iTunes. All right, so you're a New Yorker, and you love your New York teams, and I love that about you. So Odell Beckham yesterday had a quote, and I didn't believe this because I don't believe a general manager would ever take less to move a player. I don't think you'd let your... Listen, if a team offers me more... So Odell Beckham said, the Giants sent him to Cleveland to die, and there were better offers. What did you make of that?
Tell you something. We sent you to Cleveland with $41 million. The Godfather. It's business. It ain't personal. This is a business, Odell. And I want to tell you something. I argued with you, Colin, last year on this show.
Yeah.
I said, let that Ferrari, let him tune it up.
Room.
Go out there. Let him cross the field and do his thing. I've done this for years. I've stuck up with him when he had fights with pieces of equipment, when he's punched holes in walls, when he's been on boats before playoff games. I've stood in the pocket for Odell. We all have. We put up, as New York fans, with more crap from Odell Beckham than we accept from most.
No, by the way, New York Giants history, and you know this.
Story franchise.
Now, this is like Michigan football. You go into the stands, there's 70-year-olds there. This
yes.
is a brick-and-mortar IBM. When I went to a Giants game when I was in New York, and I was like, man, these are grown-ups.
Yes.
These are like Wall Street old. These are grandparents go to these games.
Yes.
And they tolerate it, and they don't like that flash.
No, New York doesn't. One of the things that gets me, this isn't Sex in the City. New York City, the majority of us are ham and eggers. Yeah, there's elites there in Manhattan. But the New York City, especially in the boroughs, the people that go to the games.
Staten Island, Queens, Bronx, Brooklyn.
Oh, yes. And so we put up with a lot of it. We put up with the magenta hair. We put up with the field goal, the dancing, the slights, the comments, all of it. You did this to yourself. And to say that we sent him out there to die, sent him out there where? Cleveland's the hot spot. It's got all the cool kids. You guys all got the cool haircuts.
Jarvis Landry.
You got all the Supreme exclusive backpacks, and you're on the photo shoots and the Paris and the models and all that stuff. Listen. I get that you miss us. Tuesday nights in Cleveland, oh no, they ain't Tuesday nights in Manhattan.
They're not.
It's catching, and the season, and it ain't the winter. He's been out there. He hasn't been out there long. He hasn't even experienced a Tuesday night in Cleveland during the winter.
Listen, his ex, when your ex is New York, it's a lot to live up to. His ex is New York.
16 out of the last 32 games he's played in. This is a sport. High impact collision sport. I want them all to have the longest careers. The ones I like, the ones I don't like. You had 9 touchdowns. You ain't Julio Jones. Julio Jones, every year, he's doing it. These guys in Cleveland, I don't know what their obsession is. I get it. You're in Cleveland. It's still Cleveland. But you're out there with your best friend, Jarvis Landry.
Yeah.
You got a quarterback who's got a cool mustache
yeah.
and all this stuff. Why are you worrying about us? We sent you out there with $41 million. The misconception that a lot of these athletes are having, especially Odell, is they think because I have 15 million followers and I was on the shop with LeBron James and this actor told me he's a fan and this model DM'd me. You think that has to do with being a great football player. None of it has to do with anything. If I was the Cleveland Browns and if I was an NFL owner, I would have Terrell Owens and Chad Ochocinco. I'd pay them to come talk to my team. Say, you know what, Odell Beckham? I was better than you. You think this is going to last forever?
It doesn't.
It don't last forever. Chad Ochocinco, Terrell Owens, these guys are the same thing. When the NFL is finished with you, an injury here, an injury there.
By the way, the ratings don't go down. NBA, you have real leverage. You don't have a lot of leverage in the NFL.
And even the NBA, we thought it was over when Bird and Magic. We thought it was over then Michael Jordan. When Tom Brady, when it's done, we're going to continue. The next Tom Brady, the next Odell, the next Walter Payton. You're not bigger than the league. And these phones and getting DM'd by these pretty girls and these actors and these actresses, it's making these people go nuts. These young kids, they're young kids. I would send in Chad Ochocinco and Terrell Owens to talk to these guys. I was better than you. And they got rid of them, of me.
People forget how good Chad Ochocinco was. Oh, God, he was great. Now, crazy time, but great. Great.
And he set the precedent for these young, these flamboyant wide receivers. And they said, okay. And they're not watching. They're not listening. They think it won't happen to them. And I wish them all the long careers. But you're doing it to yourself, Odell. We put up with a lot from you.
Yeah.
I argued with you on this show.
Yeah. A lot.
A lot.
Okay, so let's get down to it. Pat Shermer, I do think there is something to be said. Do you own the room? I'll give you an example. So years ago, I'm talking to an NFL general manager, and the guy I'm talking to is very respected. A lot of playoff wins, very respected. And he goes, I can always tell if a college coach is going to work. Does he have a presence? So when I, as a GM, go into Clemson or Alabama or Michigan State or a college, if the coach doesn't have a presence about him. Like if the coach walks by and I'm like, who's that? And you say, oh, it's the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
It never works.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a presence.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Shurmur is so wishy-washy on this Daniel Jones-Eli stuff. I mean, I'm sorry, but Mike Tomlin, who I've been critical of, steps to a microphone and you're yeah. like, I don't want anything to do with Mike Tomlin. Pat Shurmur feels like he's in trouble here. Like he wants to play Daniel. He's not being allowed to play Daniel.
Man, you know, I'm not gonna lie to you, Colin. I on the show here, I came on the show, iconic appearance.
Yeah.
And just like all the other New Yorkers, okay, we wanted the guy from Duke who has the name that starts with a Z.
Zion.
Okay? We weren't thinking about Daniel Jones. So I'm not gonna sit here. I can't make an educated opinion on Daniel Jones starting the season. I know one thing. Patrick Mahomes sat out an entire rookie season.
He did.
Eli Manning is starting the year. Eli Manning was not that bad last year, okay? Daniel Jones cannot start the season, okay? We also can't have Saquon Barkley get hurt. But I can't sit here and say, oh, yeah, this is crazy, Patrick. We need more time.
I don't have a problem with Eli starting the season. I think that's the most prudent thing to do. I don't think it's that hard to go to a microphone and say, listen, I'm going to go with playing against the ACC and playing against the Eagles for 10 years. Eli is more capable this morning to lead us in September.
I agree.
And I think you just stop talking. Just say, we're going to start the season with Eli.
Why? What did he say that got you nervous?
Oh, last week he goes, well, the owner
owns
the team.
Nope.
And it's like, I don't want to hear about the owner.
Nope.
Just say, Eli's starting the season. Come back in week 7.
Period.
Then just stop talking.
Yeah. Don't start owner, this, that. You're the coach.
You. By the way.
You're the coach?
Even if the owner's in your ear, don't tell me that.
No.
Jason Garrett never says, well, Jerry, just... Hey, by the way, the Rooneys and Kevin Colbert are in Mike Tomlin's ear all the time. Mike Tomlin walks up to that microphone, this is my team. Andy Reid walks to the microphone, this is my team.
I agree. Right. I agree. I'm not going to sit here and start Daniel Jones. I'm going to defend him, though.
He's looked better than I thought.
When some big mouth.
What?
Who's won nothing
Who?
In Cleveland.
Oh, Baker.
Backpedaling Baker. Some big mouth in Cleveland who's done nothing significant as an NFL quarterback. It's talking about my backup quarterback or my third string quarterback. We don't need your opinion. Also, your opinion means nothing because you've done nothing in the NFL. And Colin, I don't like to agree with you. When I come on this show, I want to attack you.
Yeah.
I want to disagree with you. But I must say, the way you decimated and brought reality and light to Baker Mayfield's first year.
One win out of the state of Ohio.
One win. Whoop-de-doo. And you got, all the cool kids. And somebody taught you how to Millie Rock, and you're watching Fortnite, and you're the class clown. I don't want my quarterbacks to be the class clown. I want them quiet. I like Tom Brady. These are the quarterbacks who've won. Russell, Peyton, Nick, Flacco, Eli. I never seen any of them dance.
Well, I said this before. The NFL is going to give you volatility. So what I want as a quarterback is a fireman. Who's going to put out fires?
Right.
You look at last
year. I don't
year.
Want him starting them.
I don't want a gas can. So think about Jared Goff last year. We think, oh, Rams got to the Super Bowl. He loses his best receiver in like week 7, Cooper Kupp.
Yep.
Then Todd Gurley can't play very much in week 10. And that season was considered, whew, Sean McVay got to a Super Bowl. The sport. Okay, look at Patrick Mahomes. Kareem Hunt. Oh, brother. Tyreek Hill gets in trouble. Oh, brother. Injuries to the O-line. Oh, brother. The NFL's for the good teams that won like 11 games.
Right.
And Deshaun Watson won his division. He couldn't fly to a game because of a punctured lung. So I want a fireman at quarterback putting out fires. I don't want a gas can. Baker can be a gas can.
I totally agree. And I just don't, and then he's backpedaling. I didn't say this. You did say it. Just like you said the thing about Hugh Jackson. Just like you said the thing about Duke Johnson. You said it. You say things. And don't, you're not a victim. This is another guy. Like, oh, the victim, they're coming after me. Then shut your mouth and be a quarterback. And don't you have any bro code? Don't you have any QB code? Like, yo, you're talking about another quarterback who's never taken any snaps that you probably know from one of these quarterback camps when you guys were in high school?
Probably, yeah.
So, it's like, and don't backpedal. You like to talk trash. They call me the MVP of talking trash. I don't backpedal.
You don't? Okay?
No. No. I mean, if I say something stupid, I will, but it's a different sort of thing. You're a quarterback. Keep your mouth shut.
Like, people think, and I hear this all the time, there's a lot of different ways to win. I'm not saying that you have to be Jared Goff, who is virtually the Loch Ness Monster in Los Angeles. You get a sighting once a year.
Right.
Like, you don't have to be that quiet. But we do have a history in the NFL where most of the great quarterbacks really were chaos, almost parental. They were almost maternal and parental. Like, they're just like, they're the coach on the field. You know, Michael Vick always tells a great story. He goes, they came into this league second year, and the players before the game are jumping. And he goes, I jump in, and I'm jumping. And Dan Reeves goes, you're the quarterback. You're not a running back. I don't want you leading us out of the field. I need you to step back and run the organization. And Mike's like, oh.
That's a great point.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not me being critical of Baker. This position is different.
You can be critical of him. Why can't we be critical of him? He puts himself out there.
Okay, by the way, so you've been on movie sets.
Yes.
Okay, so I have not. I would guess that the tone of the movie set is created by the director.
And the star.
The star and the director. So there is a different responsibility. If Spielberg, who works with
Tom Hanks,
they create the vibe,
yes,
the temperament, the pace, the reading of the movie. Well, that's what a quarterback does with your team. They create the vibe in the locker room.
And if you're on the set with Spielberg and Leonardo's going, man, this guy's, he's lost it. And I don't know why he's having us. We should be doing this. Why is he shoot? And if you're the supporting actors, you're going to be like, yeah, I don't know why he is. Why is the camera over there? Not that Leonardo does that, I'm just saying.
So the director and the star create the vibe.
100%. 100%.
So Leonardo and Scorsese.
Yeah, and if Leonardo starts going, yo, Marty's gone nuts. He's what?
Then you got a problem.
You have a problem.
All right.
Because everyone else is going to follow behind them. And then I'm like, oh, maybe Marty has gone nuts.
Michael Rappaport, FS1 contributor, on tour doing stand-up. You are in La Brea. Is it Brea, California?
Yep.
I thought it was La Brea.
No, Brea, California, the 6th, September 6th. Then Phoenix.
13th and 14th.
Yep.
Disruptive La Brea comedy. Is a street.
La Brea is a street. Brea, California.
Where is it?
It's about an hour and 15, hour 20 out of the city here. You got to get out of the city here.
I went to Hermosa Beach two nights ago. I felt like I was in Portugal. It was so far from my house.
Relaxing, though.
Good seeing you.
Good to see you.